Day 10, Tuesday, November 1st, Genesis 10 1-5 NKJV. Now this is the genealogy of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and sons were born to them after the flood. The sons of Japheth were Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tyrus. The sons of Gomer were Ashkenaz, Riphath, and Togarma. The sons of Javan were Elisha, Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodanim. From these the coastland peoples of the Gentiles were separated into their lands, everyone according to his language, according to their families, into their nations. 1 Chronicles 1:5-7 NKJV. The sons of Japheth were Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tyrus. The sons of Gomer were Ashkenaz, Diphath, and Togarma. The sons of Javan were Elisha, Tarshisha, Kittim, and Rodanim. Genesis 10 6-20 NKJV. The sons of Ham were Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. The sons of Cush were Saba, Havilah, Sabta, Ra'ama, and Sabteca, and the sons of Ra'ama were Sheba and Dedan. Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore it is said, like Nimrod the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Erech, Akkad, and Calna, in the land of Shinar. From that land he went to Assyria and built Nineveh, Rehoboth-ir, Calah, and Rezin between Nineveh and Calah, that is the principal city. Mizraim begot Ludim, Anamim, Lehabim, Naphtim, Pathrusim, and Casluhim, from whom came the Philistines and Caphtorim. Canaan begot Sidon his firstborn, and Heth, the Jebusite, the Amorite, and the Girgashite, the Hivite, the Arkite, and the Sinite, the Arvadite, the Zemarite, and the Hamathite. Afterward the families of the Canaanites were dispersed, and the border of the Canaanites was from Sidon as you go toward Gerar, as far as Gaza, then as you go toward Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, and Zeboim, as far as Lasha. These were the sons of Ham, according to their families, according to their languages, in their lands and in their nations. 1 Chronicles 1:8-16 NKJV. The sons of Ham were Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. The sons of Cush were Saba, Havilah, Sabta, Rama, and Sabteca. The sons of Rama were Sheba and Dedan. Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one on the earth. Mizraim begot Ludim, Anamim, Lehabim, Naphtim, Pathrusim, Casluhim, from whom came the Philistines and the Caphtorim. Canaan begot Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth, the Jebusite, the Amorite, and the Girgashite, the Hivite, the Arkite, and the Sinite, the Arvadite, the Zemarite, and the Hamathite. Genesis 10:21-30 NKJV. And children were born also to Shem, the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth the elder. The sons of Shem were Elam, Ashur, Arphaxad, Lud, and Aram. The sons of Aram were Uz, Hul, Gether, and Mash. Arphaxad begot Salah, and Salah begot Eber. To Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days the earth was divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. Joktan begot Almodad, Shelef, Hazarmaveth, Jera, Hadoram, Uzal, Dikla, Obal, Abimael, Sheba, Ophir, Havilah, and Jobab. All these were the sons of Joktan, and their dwelling place was from Mesha as you go toward Sepher, the mountain of the east. 1 Chronicles 1:17-23 NKJV. The sons of Shem were Elam, Ashur, Arphaxad, Lud, Aram, Uz, Hul, Gether, and Meshech. Arphaxad begot Shelah, and Shelah begot Eber. To Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days the earth was divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. Joktan begot Almodad, Shelef, Hazarmaveth, Jera, Hadoram, Uzal, Dikla, Ebal, Abimael, Sheba, Ophir, Havilah, and Jobab. All these were the sons of Joktan. Genesis 10:31-32 NKJV. These were the sons of Shem, according to their families, according to their languages, in their lands, according to their nations. These were the families of the sons of Noah, according to their generations, in their nations, and from these the nations were divided on the earth after the flood. Genesis 11:1-26 NKJV. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech, and it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, Come, let us build ourselves a city, and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, Indeed the people are one and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. This is the genealogy of Shem. Shem was 100 years old, and begot Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. After he begot Arphaxad, Shem lived 500 years, and begot sons and daughters. Arphaxad lived 35 years, and begot Salah. After he begot Salah, Arphaxad lived 403 years, and begot sons and daughters. Salah lived 30 years, and begot Eber. After he begot Eber, Salah lived 403 years, and begot sons and daughters. Eber lived 34 years, and begot Peleg. After he begot Peleg, Eber lived 430 years, and begot sons and daughters. Peleg lived 30 years, and begot Reu. After he begot Reu, Peleg lived 209 years, and begot sons and daughters. Reu lived 32 years, and begot Serug. After he begot Serug, Reu lived 207 years, and begot sons and daughters. Serug lived 30 years, and begot Nahor. After he begot Nahor, Serug lived 200 years, and begot sons and daughters. Nahor lived 29 years, and begot Terah. After he begot Terah, Nahor lived 119 years, and begot sons and daughters. Now Terah lived 70 years, and begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. 1 Chronicles 1:24-27 NKJV. Shem, Arphaxad, Shelah, Eber, Peleg, Reu, Serug, Nahor, Terah, and Abram, who is Abraham. Genesis 11:27-31 NKJV. This is the genealogy of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran begot Lot, and Haran died before his father Terah in his native land, in Ur of the Chaldeans. Then Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren, she had no child. And Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. Daily Deep Dive. Let's start this deep dive with the UCG Bible Reading Program comments. Genesis 10 contains what is commonly called the Table of Nations. This genealogical record lists 70 nations descended from the sons of Noah. The Israelites, and the descendants of Abraham generally, are not mentioned, although their common ancestor, Haber, is included in the list. The genealogical record here is in the form of a clan list, which typically follows the father-son-grandson format, although exceptions to the rule and extended lists, such as we will later encounter with Israel's clan lists, are not uncommon. The purpose of clan lists is to show affinities between related peoples. At the head of the list stands the common ancestor, in this case Noah. Under the common ancestor are listed the tribes, and under the tribes are listed the smaller clans. The further down the clan list one moves, the greater divide there is within the large family groups, but cultural and political affiliations between the members of the smaller family units are actually more pronounced. Thus, Japheth fathered Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tyrus. All of those peoples were related and shared certain general cultural and political affiliations. But Ashkenaz, Riphath, and Togarma, who were fathered by Gomer, are further down the list and therefore shared greater cultural and political affiliations than they did with those peoples descended from the other sons of Japheth. Are these ancient historical lists of any importance to us today? While many of the nations recorded in the genealogy disappear from the scriptural record, some of them will reappear in the prophetic books, with a surprising number mentioned in connection with end-time events. God appears to refer to the nations of the world by these family names, and it is interesting to note that the end-time configuration of nations provided by the prophetic books shows the nations allied by their clan affiliations. Surprisingly, these prophecies show that the passage of around 4,000 years of history has done little to alter the basic pattern of international relations. And I went back and forth on how much of a deep dive to do on each of these families and which nations may have come from them, and I've ultimately decided not to go that deep. If you are interested in that depth, I found the Adam Clark's commentary, Free Commentary on Esword, to be an interesting read about what nations each of these families may have produced. Some are more certain, others more speculation. I would like to dive a bit into the family line of Ham. Remember what we just read yesterday about the incident and the curse that happened at the end of chapter 9. This family and family line appears to make a stark departure from following God. Ham eventually is used in the Bible interchangeably for Egypt. See Psalm 78:51. PSA 105:27, PSA 106:22, as Cush, Mizraim and Phut all end up settling in various parts of Egypt. We also see Canaan in this family line, who settles in the area that will become known as the Promised Land. Whole nations form the Canaanite people, the Jebusite, Amorite, Girgashite, Hivite, Arkite, Sinite, Arvadite, Zemurite, and Hamathite, Gen 10:16-18. Gen 10:8, from this family of Ham, we are introduced to Nimrod, and it's important to note that the Bible pauses the genealogies for a moment to tell us about this man. Nimrod's name means rebellion. Verse 9, if you look at commentaries you will see that this term, he was a mighty hunter before the Lord, carries more depth than what we read on the surface. The International Standard Version of the Bible captures the meaning more in line with commentaries. Gen 10:9, he became a fearless hunter in defiance of the Lord. That is why it is said, like Nimrod, a fearless hunter in defiance of the Lord. Verse 10, we find a word that is used for the first time in the Bible, kingdom. This word is used many more times after this in the Old Testament. But this is where we are introduced to a rebellious man who begins to rule over people.
I would like you to focus on two of the cities he establishes and rules over, Babel and Nineveh.
From these two cities we eventually get the capitals of the Babylonian and Assyrian empires, two major world powers that would eventually take the people of Israel and Judah into captivity. Babylon becomes a type of all later kingdoms of men that are set on doing things their own ways, apart from God. In chapter 11-4 we find that these people decide to build a tower.
I would like to paste excerpts from the Jewish historian Josephus to better under Nimrod, Babel and this tower.
God commanded them to send colonies abroad, for the thorough peopling of the earth, that they might not raise seditions among themselves, but might cultivate a great part of the earth, and enjoy its fruits after a plentiful manner. But they were ill instructed, that they did not obey God, for when they flourished with a numerous youth, God admonished them again to send out colonies. But they, imagining the prosperity they enjoyed was not derived from the favor of God, but supposing that their own power was the proper cause of the plentiful condition they were in, did not obey him. Now it was Nimrod who excited them to such an affront and contempt of God, a bold man, and of great strength of hand. He persuaded them not to ascribe it to God as if it was through his means they were happy, but to believe that it was their own courage which procured that happiness. He also gradually changed the government into tyranny, seeing no other way of turning men from the fear of God, but to bring them into a constant dependence upon his power. He also said he would be revenged on God, if he should have a mind to drown the world again, for that he would build a tower too high for the waters to be able to reach, and that he would avenge himself on God for destroying their forefathers. Now the multitude were very ready to follow the determination of Nimrod, and to esteem it a piece of cowardice to submit to God, and they built a tower, neither sparing any pains nor being in any degree negligent about the work, and, by reason of the multitude of hands employed in it, it grew very high sooner than anyone could expect. But the thickness of it was so great, and it was so strongly built, that thereby its great height seemed, upon the view, to be less than it really was. When God saw that they acted so madly, he did not resolve to destroy them utterly, since they were not growing wiser by the destruction of the former sinners, but he caused a tumult among them, by producing in them diverse languages, that they should not be able to understand one another. The place wherein they built the tower is now called Babylon, because of the confusion of that language which they readily understood before, for the Hebrews mean by the word Babel, confusion. And, while reading Josephus isn't the same as reading the true inspired word of the Bible, it gives us an idea of what was understood about this section of scripture, Nimrod/Tower of Babel. The Babylonian Empire would rise and fall over time in strength as a world power, but we find that this Babylonian idea continues in the many kingdoms/empires of men all the way until the return of Jesus Christ. In Revelation 16, 17, and 18 we see the final destruction of Babylon. I'll paste some excerpts to help us see the end of what Ham/Cush/Nimrod began in their rebellion against God and what the kingdom of God will replace forever. Rev 16:19. Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon was remembered before God, to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Rev 16:20. Then every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. Rev 16:21. And great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great. Rev 17:1. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters." Rev 17:2. With whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Rev 17:4. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. Rev 17:5. And on her forehead a name was written, "Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth." Rev 17:6. I saw the woman, drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. Rev 18:1. After these things I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. Rev 18:2. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, "Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird." Rev 18:3. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. V5, Rev 18:5. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Rev 18:8. Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. Rev 18:9. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her, when they see the smoke of her burning. Rev 18:10. Standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come." Rev 18:11. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Rev 18:20. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. Genesis 11, at the end of this chapter, we find that from Noah's son Shem, comes the finally line of Nahor, Terah, Abram. Unlike Ham, Shem seems to follow God, Gen 9:26, blessed by the Lord, the God of Shem. Verse 28, their native land was Ur. Ur was in southern part of Babylonia. Already by this time, counterfeit religion filled the land. In a previous study I learned that in Babylonia, they had national gods, local city gods, even family/clan gods. Pagan worship filled their culture. John Gill's commentary brings out following from Josephus on this verse. Josephus, Antiquo, L. 1. Circa 6. Sect. 5, says, that Haran died among the Chaldeans, in a city called Ur of the Chaldees, where, he adds, his grave is shown to this day, the Jews, Shalshalit, fall. 2. 1, 2. Jarchi and Locke have a fable concerning the death of Haran. They say that Terah was not only an idolater, but a maker and seller of images, and that one day going abroad, he left his son Abraham in the shop to sell them, who, during his father's absence, broke them all to pieces, except one, upon which, when Terah returned and found what was done, he had him before Nimrod, who ordered him to be cast into a burning furnace, and he should see whether the god he worshipped would come and save him. And while he was in it, they asked his brother Haran in whom he believed. He answered, if Abraham overcomes, he would believe in his god, but if not, in Nimrod, wherefore they cast him into the furnace, and he was burnt, and with respect to this it is said, and Haran died before the face of Terah his father, but Abraham came out safe before the eyes of them all. And, again, this is non-biblical material, but I found it interesting nonetheless. Verse 29, Abram means exalted father and Sarai means princess. Verse 30, first usage of the word barren. It's interesting to me how often God allowed major women of the Bible to be barren, Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, Hannah, Samuel's mother, and wife of Manoah, Samson's mother. What did each of them learn from this time period of barrenness? God, in the right timing for each of them, allowed them to have children that were integral to his plan. This is something I'm meditating on. Maybe someday a sermon will come from this. Verse 31, we don't know much about Terah. We know from Joshua 24:2 that he worshipped other gods and that God took Abraham out of that culture to work with him. It's pure speculation. But where did Abraham learn about the true God and what was right? Did Abraham have a relationship with Noah and Shem? Shem would have been about 390 years old and Noah about 892 years old when Abraham was born. Noah would have died when Abraham was about 58 years old. According to Jewish literature, Midrash, they had a relationship, but we have no way of proving this one way or another. These writings contain stories of how Terah was the chief officer to Nimrod and was the high priest to the idol worshippers. Again, there is no way to know for sure, but we clearly know Terah served other gods and the true God called Abraham out of this.